Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Jesus is holy. He is worthy. He is worthy of our time. He's worthy of our attention. He's worthy for us to prioritize him. I don't know if you pay attention to this stuff very much, but in church circles, Easter tends to be packed, and the week after Easter, like half the people don't come back. I want to make sure that we're not here just patting ourselves on the back and saying, well, I did it. I did what no one else did, or hardly, like, I'm here. We're not here for us. We're not here to check a box to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. We are here because he is holy. He is worthy. He's worthy of our time. He's worthy of our attention. And the amazing thing is that he wants to speak to us today. And the primary way that God speaks to his people is through the Holy Scriptures. And so this is why at Next Level, we stand to our feet and we honor the text and we read it nice and loud. So our theme verse for the day is going to come up on the screen. We're going to read it together. When we get to the reference, which is where you can find it in the Bible, we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to say James 1, dot, dot, 5. I want to ask that you do the dot, dot with us. Will you read the verse with me nice and loud? It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James 1, dot, dot, 5. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? God, we invite you into this place, and we invite you into our hearts, and we ask, God, that you would help us to hear from you. God, you typically speak in a still, small voice, so I ask that you would help us to remove distractions from this room, remove distractions even from our own minds, that we would hone in. You are worthy of our time and our attention, so help us to pay attention, help us to listen. And God, when you speak, we often become afraid, so give us the courage to do whatever you tell us to do. Help us to be people who don't just simply listen to a sermon, but help us to be people who live it out. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. And as you're seated, I need to know, is there anyone excited to be at church today? Yeah. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited that you're here. I always like to start on a positive note and give a few shout-outs. And first off, I just want to give a shout-out to those who serve in our military. And whether you're here in person or you're watching on our live stream online, would you help me welcome our military and give a shout-out to them? I want to give a second shout-out to one of our owners at Next Level. You'll hear us say this often. We don't have owners. We don't have members. We have owners. Members have rights, but owners have responsibilities. And so when this is your church and you become a member, you give back and help make this the best place that it possibly can be. And not too long ago, one of our military families, because we draw so many from the military, they got orders to move. And so they were leaving, and one of the last things they had to do was have a walkthrough of the apartment that they were in. And the walkthrough was going to happen after they already needed to move to their next location. And so their group leader said, hey, have no worries. I'll do everything for you. I'll do this walkthrough. And they said, great. We have a cleaning company who's coming. They're going to clean everything, do all the work. You just need to meet them there at the end to make sure everything is checked off. Well, this group leader shows up to this house, and the cleaning company that had already been paid did a horrible job, did not do the job. And so she looks at this house, and she's like, I'm worried they're not going to get their deposit back. Something needs to happen. And so she starts going into cleaning mode and starts cleaning this house for this member of her group who's already moved on. She ends up texting her group and saying, hey, guys, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight. Something has come up. And then within the group, they start talking and asking, well, what has come up? What's going on? And they end up talking about that she is cleaning this house. And the whole group says, well, let's not cancel group. Let's just all meet at the house, and we'll all bring cleaning supplies, and we'll take care of it. And so the entire group shows up to clean and take care of this house so that when the final walkthrough had to go and the family's already moved to their next location, they were able to pass the inspection and check it off. And I thought that was an incredible sign of ownership. I want to give them a shout out. Will you help me thank them? So today we're kicking off a brand new series entitled The April Fool, and this is a series designed to help us become more wise, and when we become more wise, we become less foolish, and the series happens every week in the month of April, so thus the name April Fool. And to kick things off, I want to ask you a rhetorical question, and I want you to think about this question really, really, I want you to think about this question, all right? If God appeared to you, and he would answer one prayer request, what would you ask for? If God appeared to you and you knew it was God, like there's no question, 100% this is God. I can't question it. I can't argue it. This is God. I am in God's presence. And God says, ask me for one thing. And you could ask him for anything. What would you ask him for? Now, this is a tough question to answer because there's a lot of things we could ask him for. Like if you're into beauty pageants, you might ask him for world peace. Or if thank you. The last service loved that joke. Only this section liked that joke. Some of you, though, you might like be going through a serious issue. Maybe it's with your physical health, and so you would ask for good health. Or maybe you know someone that's struggling with help. Or maybe it's a financial blessing, and you're like, hey, God, we just can't get these finances down. We need a little help in this. And so maybe that's what you would ask for. I know I would be tempted to ask God to make vegetables taste like pizza. That would help me out a lot. It really would. It would make my life so much better. Or some of you, maybe, especially those of you that maybe are like me and you're more indoorsy, maybe you would ask God for the ability to control the thermostat outside. Because in Virginia, like people that love the outside, they're in denial. What they don't understand is that there are only 3 weeks a year in Virginia that are good to be outside. Every other week, it's not nice at all. In the summer, it's way too humid and there's tons of bugs. In the fall, it stays hot way too long. Like come October, everyone pulls out the flannel and we all sweat to death because it's still 99 degrees outside. In the winter, it's too dark and it's too cold. In the spring, it rains for 36 hours a day. Plus, everything turns yellow because of pollen. And in between all of that, you've got about 3 weeks a year that are like, okay, this is nice. I enjoy this. So maybe you're like, okay, God, can you help me control the thermostat out here? Can you help me fix things? I would like to enjoy nature more. I don't know what you would ask God for. I don't know what your request would be. But I think it's a really important question to ask. If you had an opportunity to ask God for anything, what would you ask him for? And we actually have a case of this happening in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, a young guy by the name of Solomon has a vision from God, and he gets to ask him this question. And I want to give you a little bit of backstory for our text today. Solomon is, he's just been made king over Israel. His dad was David, the guy that took out Goliath the giant, was one of the most famous kings and one of the most successful kings in Israel's history. And Solomon is following in his footsteps. And right at the very beginning of Solomon becoming king, he has this encounter with God. 1 Kings 3:5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. So Solomon has a vision and it's God, and God does what we just walked through. He literally says, hey, ask me for one thing. What do you want? Now, before we look at his answer, I think this is an important thing for us to really wrestle with. What you ask God for reveals a lot about your heart. What you ask God for reveals a lot about your heart. And before we look at what Solomon asked for, I want you to think about yourself. What are you asking God for currently? If you're not asking God for anything, it reveals that you're living very self-sufficient. And you're in your mind, you're saying, I don't need God because I just don't ask him for things. If you're asking him for things, but you can only spend it on yourself, it reveals, okay, there's some selfishness in there. And then there's some stuff that God probably needs to deal with inside my heart. If you're asking for God for like whatever it is, I want you to analyze it and just say, okay, God, this reveals my heart. What am I asking you for? And I want to tell you that I believe that God wants to be a part of our lives and he wants to answer our prayers. And so often we get so afraid and we're like, oh, I don't want to bother God. But no, God wants to answer our prayers. He literally does. And so I want to give you something before we look at Solomon, what God says to Solomon, before we look at what Solomon asked for, I want to give you some insight on prayer. Because if God ever does appear to you and you get to ask him for anything, I want to let you know right up off the bat that there are some things that God will say no to. There's some things that if you ask him, if you have your one chance to ask him, there's some things that he's going to say, nope, not going to do that. And so if you're taking notes, I want to encourage you. These are some prayers that God doesn't answer, or he does answer with a no. Prayers God doesn't answer. Number one, unasked prayers. Unasked prayers. This is one that I think is incredibly important because so often in our lives, we are afraid to ask for things. And this applies not just to God, it applies to other people. And so often we need something and we say no for other people. I don't want to ask them, they're going to say no. I don't want to bother them, they're so busy. Let other people say no. They're adults. Let them decide. Don't say no for them. And it's the same thing with God. We carry the same mindset to God. And so often we don't ask him for things. We say, okay, God, you're so busy. I'm just a little lowly person. Like, why should I ask you for this? I don't want to bother you. Well, no. Bother God. That's part of the reason that he's there. Look at what James says. James 4:2. You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. So when we have a need, James points out some insight, and James says, listen, so often in our need, we start fighting for it. We have something that we want, and we fight for it. We covet it. We have envy. We start doing all these type of things to try to get what we want. All the while, the God of the universe is like, hey, could you just ask me? Just ask. He might say no, that's true, but he also might say yes. And I love James because James is so in your face and he's so just like plain and clear. And I need people like that in my life. I don't understand when you beat around the bush or you hint around something. Just be clear. I want you to be kind, but be clear. And James is really clear. And James says, listen, I want to give you some insight. You don't have because you haven't asked. That means that there's some blessings waiting for us up in heaven that are just waiting for us to say, hey, God, could I have this? God, I would like this. God, I need this. And so often we say no for God when we need to just ask. Let him say no if he wants to say no. And if he says no, we should trust, okay, it's for my own good. He has a reason why. But it's our job to ask. Years ago, my family was in Nags Head, and we were there with some friends. There was about 10 of us, and we were out in the water just hanging out. And a wave came out of nowhere and just hit me. Like, it was just an unfair shot. Like, I didn't even see it coming. It just knocked me down and knocked me under the waves. And when I came up, my glasses were gone. They were, like, completely gone. And so I said to the people, all the friends around me, I said, oh, my glasses just fell off. Like, help me find them. And so there's about 10 of us, and we're at Nag's Head at the beach in the water, and we're all, like, tiptoeing our feet trying to find the glasses. And after about 10 minutes, someone says, Rob, your glasses are gone. Like, they're swimming with the fishes. You're never going to find them. And I was like, you're right. I'm not going to find them. Like, there's no way. The waves are just too strong. And so we get out of the water, and we're out on the beach, and we're standing on the beach, and as I'm standing there, something just kind of comes over me, and I start to think about this verse. It's like, you don't have because you don't ask. And then I started thinking about the people that I was with, and we were with some friends that don't have strong faith in God, that don't spend a lot of time praying. And so I just started thinking, okay, God, I feel really silly asking you to help me find these glasses, but at the same time, you tell me I don't have because I don't ask. And so I just want to put this out there, and I want this to be a testimony to the people that I'm with, that you do listen to us and you do care for us. And so I said a prayer, and then I told my friends, hey, I'm going back out in the water to find these glasses. And they said, it is impossible, Rob. And I said, I know, but I just prayed, and I'm going to trust that God's going to help me find them. And they all looked at me like I was crazy, and I walked back out in the water. Now, you need to understand, the ocean's always moving. So, like, we're on the beach. I don't even fully remember where we were standing. This is not like, there wasn't like a lifeguard with red flags saying your glasses are here. Like I was guessing where I thought the glasses were. And I walk out into the water and I dodge a few waves and I start putting my feet in the sand. And about like the third or fourth time I put my foot in the sand, I find my glasses and I pinch them with my toes and I hold them up like, I found them, I found them. No one on the beach cared. They were like, we don't care. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. This is an answered prayer. And it seems silly. Like, why? God, you're so busy. You've got so many things. Why? They're cheap glasses. They weren't even that great of glasses. Like, why would you care about this? Well, it's up to God to say yes or no. It's up to me to ask. We don't have because we don't ask. This takes us to the second one, selfish prayers. Selfish prayers. I believe that God does want to bless us. I do. I believe that God wants to bless our lives. But at the same time, you need to understand that when God blesses you, whenever he blesses you with something, it is not just for you. When God gives you something, whether it's good health or financial health, or he gives you just a great idea, or he gives you prosper, whatever God gives you, whenever he gives it to you, it is not just for you. It is always for you to share and be a blessing with other people. Look at what James says, James 4:3. It says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So when we have selfish prayers, God's like, nope, not going to do that. Because if I did give you what you asked for, you'd become prideful, you would be selfish, it would cause more damage to your life. So I'm just going to say no, I'm not going to bless that selfish prayer. And then that takes us to the third one, unrepentant prayers. Unrepentant prayers. This is one that is important, and it's really important that we spend just a little bit of time here, because all of us sin. All of us fall short of God's standards. Sin just means to miss the mark, and all of us do that every single day. At the same time, there are certain things in our lives that are ongoing sins. They're things that we're like, I don't want to give that up to God. And we know that it's causing us like some separation. And God still loves us and God forgives us. But there's something in our lives that we're like, hey, I've kept this hidden. I don't think anyone else but God knows about this. There's things in my life that I'm holding on to. And those things actually impact your prayer life. Because that sin, that holding on to sin, it causes the Holy Spirit of God to be quenched. Now, God's still powerful, but his power is diminished in your life when we hold on to sin. Look at what James says, James 4:4-6. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. When we are unrepentant, what that is a sign of is pride. Pride tells us, I don't need God's forgiveness. Pride tells us, no one will find out about this. Pride tells us, I can make it on my own. Pride tells us, if I do share this with someone, they're going to judge me. So let me just keep this secret. And that secret stuff, that pride, diminishes the power of God in our lives. Now, please hear me. It doesn't mean that God leaves you. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. But it does impact your prayer life. When there's something in our lives and we're like, hey, I keep praying, I keep asking you to do this, one of the very first things God's going to say is, okay, I want to hear you, I want to do that, but also you got this area of your life that you're not giving me total access to. In fact, I am convinced that anytime people get hungry to truly know the Lord, the Holy Spirit quickly puts a shovel and broom in their hands. And one of the signs of okay, God, you have my heart, is that you start to feel this conviction. And it's not a conviction of shame. It's not a conviction that says you're less than. It's a conviction that says, okay, God, you love me so much, you want to clean out these areas of my life. And there's certain things. There's some stinking thinking. There's some habits. There's some things in my life that I'm holding on to. And God starts to say, hey, listen, I want to love those areas too. And I want to change them. I want to fix them. And I want to love you through them. And it's been my experience that when we hold on to these things, it quenches our ability to pray. And what we start to find is the longer we hold on to these sins, the less we want to pray and the less we want to be around God. And so unrepentant sin impacts our prayer. So we looked at some things that God says no to. Now let's look at what Solomon says. I've kept you hanging for a little while. Let's look at what Solomon asked for and see how God responds. 1 Kings 3:7-9. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? So a couple of things I want to point out about this. Number one, you may have noticed that Solomon says, I'm a little kid. Well, what we understand based off context clues and the rest of scriptures is that he's not most likely a little kid. He was probably about 20 years old. And so he's not saying, literally, I'm a little kid. He has some humility, and he's saying, God, I don't have a fat clue what I'm doing. My dad was a great leader and a great king, and I'm a 20-year-old, and I didn't even ask to be king. And now all of a sudden, my dad's made me king, and when I look out, there's people that are like as much as sand on the seashore. Like, people just go everywhere. I don't have a fat clue what I'm doing. So, God, I need your help. And then did you catch what he asked for? He said, help me to understand the difference between right and wrong. Another way to say that is wisdom. God, give me wisdom. Help me to know the difference between right and wrong. Now let's see how God responds to this prayer. 1 Kings 3:10-12. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you, look what he asked for, a wise and discerning heart. So there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. So here's the blueprint for us. If God ever does appear to you and says, hey, you can ask me for one thing, follow Solomon's example. What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. God, will you give me wisdom? Would you help me understand what to do? I don't know what to do, so give me wisdom. And God says, listen, because you didn't ask for wealth, and because you didn't ask for riches, and because you didn't ask me to take out your enemies, I'm gonna answer this prayer with a yes. I'm gonna give you wisdom. So the question for us is, well, what does wisdom mean? Well, when you look at the Hebrew definition of wisdom, which that's what Solomon would have been speaking in, wisdom means skillful living. Skillful living. Now, I don't know about you, but I could use a lot more of that in my life. Wisdom is different than knowledge. Wisdom is different than education. You can learn a lot of things from books, and you can learn a lot of things from school, but you can still not be wise. Wisdom is more. It's more than education. And I was reminded about this because I got a master's degree in a seminary, a master's degree in theology that was 93 credits. And if you've ever looked at a master's, most master's are like 30 to 40 credits. It's a lot of credits to get my master's. And I got done with seminary, and I take a job at a church, and I realized within like the first couple weeks, I don't have a fat clue what I'm doing. 93 credits did not prepare me to know how to do a funeral. And the first time I get asked to do a funeral, I'm like, I don't know what, do I Google this? Like, I don't know what to do. How do I do a funeral? I got asked to do a wedding, and I'm like, I'm honored, but I don't have a fat clue how to lead a wedding. I've barely been married a few years myself. Like, I don't know. And then I have to do premarital counseling. I don't know how to do that. Run a church staff meeting. No idea. 93 credits did not prepare me how to run a staff meeting or to run a church budget. Literally everything I have to do in my job, 93 credits did not prepare me how to do it. And maybe you can relate, because maybe you've read books and you have education and you've gained knowledge, but you need to understand that wisdom is so much more than anything you can learn in a book. Wisdom is skillful living. It's beyond the text. It's in a situation that you don't know what to do, and you're like, okay, no one's written a book on this before, but I'm going to make the wise choice. Wisdom means skillful living, and it is so much more than education. Now, if Solomon was alive today, I think he would quote this clip that I want to show you, because this quote, it lives rent-free in my head. I think about it all the time. It's constantly in my head. And I think it's a very wise saying. And it's from a TV show that I like called The Office, and it's very funny. But check this out. That's wisdom, right? Would an idiot do this? Nah. Yep, idiot would do that. Okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that thing. Okay, that's what I think about when I think about wisdom. But it's not that easy, right? Because we're like, yeah, I would love to be wise, and I would love to not do what idiots do. But then we all find ourselves in situations where we don't do the wise thing. Well, I want to show you what happens, because when Solomon asks for wisdom, God doesn't just answer his prayer, but he goes above and beyond. Look at what God says next. 1 Kings 3, 13 through 15. This is God speaking. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke and he realized it had been a dream. And what we know is that this dream was a prophetic dream. It was God, because this exactly happens to Solomon. He becomes the wisest man ever to live. He leads in wisdom, and that wisdom brings with him a bunch of wealth. Now, what I think is interesting is that this is the benefit of wisdom. It's not a promise that you will have wealth and health and financial prosperity, but just think about this. When you are skillful at life, you make better decisions. And when you make better decisions, the rest of your life prospers. It just does. It's not a guarantee that you're going to have great, perfect relationships. No one does. But when you have wisdom, you have much better relationships than when you don't. It's not a promise that, hey, if you ask God for wisdom and he gives it to you, you're going to become a millionaire. It's not a promise. It doesn't come with that. But I do promise you that when you honor God with your finances and you have wisdom in your finances, you have more money at the end of the month. When we have wisdom, when we do what God asks us to do and we seek wisdom, it helps us to be better at life. And Solomon does this. And this is why I want to encourage you to write this down, because some of you are so scared to pray. You're like, I don't know what to talk to God about. I don't know what to say to God. Well, we need to follow Solomon's example. Asking for wisdom is a prayer that God honors. And if you don't know what to pray, if you don't know what to say to God, ask him for wisdom. When you're feeling anxious, ask God for wisdom. When you're feeling worried and you don't know how to solve the situation, ask God for wisdom. When you're feeling complacent in your relationship with God and you're like, I don't even really want to spend time with you, ask God for wisdom. When you're struggling relationally because there's drama and you're just like, ah, we're just fighting all the time and I don't know how to fix this, ask God for wisdom, because asking for wisdom is a prayer that God honors. In fact, God honored it so much in Solomon's life, he wrote a whole book of wisdom called Proverbs. And Proverbs are great. You can read one every day. There's 31 Proverbs, and so you can read one for every day of the month. And it's just wisdom sayings, sayings that he's learned, that he lived out. And I want to show you some insight to what Solomon says wisdom is. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives, there's our word, wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So first off, what Solomon says is that, listen, wisdom is so important, it's such a big deal, that you should search for it like you would a buried treasure. Now think about this just for a second. If right now someone were to hand you a treasure map and say, listen, X marks the spot. I promise you there is buried treasure. It is more gold than you know what to do with, but you got to go find it. It's buried, and here's the X where it is. If any of us got that map, and it was a reliable map, and then we walked out of church, and we said, I'll do that later. I want to go to lunch. We would be idiots. We would be fools. If you have a treasure map pointing to a treasure, you run to it. You go to find it immediately. And Solomon says, hey, listen, that's how good wisdom is. Wisdom's like a buried treasure. You got to search for it. You got to dig for it. You got to go find it because it will change your life. But then he says something at the very end that I think is insightful and really important for us. He says, the Lord gives wisdom. What we need to understand is that wisdom is not separate from God. They are connected. That when you ask God for wisdom, what you ultimately will get is the presence of God. Wisdom is not just acquired information, but practical insight with spiritual implications. Make sure that you get this. Wisdom is not just knowing right or wrong or just, you know, skillful living. That's all part of it. But there's a spiritual implication to wisdom. Billy Graham was one of the most famous evangelists America has ever seen. And Billy Graham says, knowledge is horizontal, but wisdom is vertical. It comes from above. So wisdom comes from God. That's what Solomon says. And wisdom is absolutely amazing. And so if wisdom is so great, and wisdom comes with all these blessings, why don't we ask God for wisdom more? Solomon actually gives us some insight in that. In Proverbs 1:7, Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, when Solomon says fear, he's not talking about being scared like of the boogeyman. He's saying have an awe and having a reverence in your life of understanding that God is all-powerful and I'm not. God is in charge and I'm not. And when you say, okay, God, I'm going to give you my life, what you're saying is, okay, this is the beginning of true knowledge. But why don't we do that? The next part of the verse answers it. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why don't we ask for more, God? Because we're foolish. Why don't we ask God for wisdom in our lives? Because we're foolish. This is incredibly important because so often Christians think that believing the gospel is a one-time thing, that you ask God in your heart. You hear the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus, that you are a sinful person, I'm a sinful person, we are separated by God, from God, but then God sends his son Jesus to die for us, and he brings us in relationship with God, and that's the good news, that's the gospel. So many people think that that's a one-time thing, but the gospel is not something you believe once, it's something that you need every single day of your life. Because every single day of your life, you are prone to choose between wisdom and foolishness. When you wake up in the morning and your first thought is, I don't really want to read the Bible, that's a tug of war between wisdom and foolishness. When you have some money to spend and you're tempted to spend it on some selfish things, that's a tug of war between wisdom and foolishness. And every day we're tempted and we're pulled in this direction. And the fool is a person who knows the difference between right and wrong, but chooses to do what's wrong anyway. And the fool says, okay, I don't need God in this area of my life. I'm going to do it my own. Solomon's dad, David, said this in Psalm 53:1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. So in any area of our life where we try to do it on our own, and in any area of our life where we say, I've got this, I don't need God, we are being foolish. I feel like this verse is like a Gotham verse. Like if you ever deal with someone, they're like, I just don't believe in God. Say, okay, I got a verse for you. Psalm 53:1. Gotham. Fool says in his heart, there is no God. But I want to make sure that you hear this. All of this stuff, all of these wisdom verses are not dictated and not read to and not said to people who don't know God. It's said to his people. And so we need to acknowledge that we have some foolishness in our own lives. And we need to understand that when we ask God for prayer, for wisdom, he honors that. Whenever we ask God for wisdom, he honors that. Now, you might be here today and you say, okay, well, this is a great story. It's great that that happened to King Solomon, but he's special. He has some special connection with God. And if we were living in Old Testament times, I would say you're right. Because in the Old Testament, not everyone got to hear from God. It was very special people. And it tended to be those who were prophets or priests or kings. Those that had special attention got to hear from God, or God would do something special in his life. Meanwhile, all the rest of the peons, all the rest of the people, they just had to go to someone else. If you needed to hear from God, you went to a priest. If you needed God to do something, you went to someone else and you had them do it because they are special and we're not. And so maybe you're thinking, okay, this is that case, that Solomon has this special relationship with God and he asked God for wisdom, but who am I to ask God for wisdom? But thank God that we have the New Testament, because James comes along, who is Jesus's brother, and look at what James says, James 1:5. If any of you, anyone, not just pastors, not just priests, not just special people, not just rich people, not just people that have loved God their whole lives, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If any of you lacks wisdom, this is an amazing thing that I want to make sure you don't miss out on. We are living in a day and time that the Old Testament would have been jealous of. Wait a second, you get to talk to God? Like literally, hardly no one in the Old Testament has this access to God. But because of Jesus and what Jesus did for us, and because he took our place on the cross, we now have access to God. And we can go to God at any point. So the question is, why wouldn't we? And when you go to God, you're like, I don't know what to say. Start with wisdom. Because wisdom is a prayer that God answers. James, though, does give a caveat, and I want to make sure I include this in the sermon, because James says anyone can ask for wisdom, but you need to understand, here's the caveat that comes along with it. The second part of the verse, James 1:6-8, says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, knocking off a pastor's sunglasses. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So I want to make sure that you hear this. God wants you to ask for wisdom. But when you ask, James gives this caveat. When you go to God, don't go to God and say, hey, God, kind of, if you sort of want to, I don't know, I'm just this lowly person. I don't know. I don't know if you're really going to do this. I don't know if you're going to answer this. James says, no. That's unstable thinking. Go to God with confidence and understand wisdom is a prayer that God answers. But you need to understand that what comes with wisdom is God. And when you ask God for wisdom, you start to get the presence of God, and he starts to convict you, and he starts to move in your life, and he starts to show you areas of your life and says, hey, this isn't honoring to me, this area of your life. Let me take this area too. Hey, this secret thing, I want to get involved in there. I want to give you wisdom for every area of your life. And we know, we can trust that if we ask God, if we're honest and we say, okay, God, I need wisdom, we can trust that he's going to give it. Asking God for wisdom is a prayer that honors God. If you're here today and you've never asked God for that wisdom, I want to talk to you just for a second. I want to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. And I want to speak just really quickly to those, maybe you're new to the church scene, or maybe you haven't been to church in a long time. But in your life, you've never started that relationship with God. You've never started the first part to just say, God, I need you. You've never given your life to him. And if you've never accepted Jesus into your life, in your heart, I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to meet Jesus, if you want to ask him into your life, would you just repeat this prayer after me if it's the prayer of your heart? God, I admit that I am foolish. And I admit that so often I try to do things on my own. And I ask, God, that you would forgive me for my sins, that you would forgive me for my foolishness. And I ask that you would move in my life. I accept your free gift of salvation. And I ask that you'd help me to live for you all the days of my life. With every head still bowed and every eye closed, if you said that prayer for the first time and just started a relationship with Jesus, we want to celebrate with you. We don't want to embarrass you, but we do want to celebrate with you. And we want to let you know what your next steps are. And if you said that prayer, would you just be honest? Would you be bold enough to raise your hand up? And we're going to give you a card. And you can fill that card out, and we'll just walk with you and tell you what your next steps are. And we just want to celebrate with you. And so just leave your hand up. There's some ushers that have some cards. Leave it up till they hand it to you. And if your hand's up and they don't quite see you, raise it maybe just a little bit higher. They'll get the card to you quickly. For everyone else that's here, I want to pray over you. Because we're the ones that this is written to. We're the Christians who say, okay, I've accepted you. We need more wisdom in our lives. So I just want to pray over us. God, we come before you right now. And we just admit that there's so much foolish thinking in our culture. There's so much foolish thinking in our lives. And God, right now, I just ask that you would give us more of you. I pray for those who are struggling right now with financial decisions, that God, you would give them the wisdom to know how to honor you in their finances. And I pray for God, those who are struggling with emotional decisions, that they don't have the capacity. They don't know how to fix it. There's not a book. There's not a counselor. There's no one else that can give them what they need. And God, I ask right now that you would give them the courage to cry out to you and ask you for wisdom. And we know and we trust that you're going to give it to them. I pray for those who are struggling with physical health, and we don't know why they haven't been healed. We don't know why they've been crying out to you and asking you to heal them. I ask right now, God, that you would give them wisdom, supernatural wisdom, to know what to do and how to honor you in this season of their life. God, I pray for those who are struggling relationally, and they can't fix the relationship, and it just seems like there's constant drama and there's constant fighting. I ask, God, right now that you would give them wisdom, that they would know how to be peacemakers in the relationship. God, help us to become people who are skilled at living life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.